Accession number 28147, real 7.
That the chaps that were there long before we were, they were suffering from dysentery, and some of them so bad that they were dying. But it didn't matter whether you was ill or what with dysentery. If you could possibly walk at all, the Germans forced them to go digging there, same as we went. And if they absolutely collapsed or anything of that, the German guards simply either kicked them or knocked them and beat them with the butt end of their rifles. Made your blood boil. But there was nothing we could do about it. And then we went back, taken back, every day, so I don't know how many days we went like that. But then there was two of the prisoners asked the Germans if they could hold a religious service. They told them, yes, you can, as long as it's in one hut. And all the men that want to go will have to crowd into that hut. Jack and I went. And most of us had got a little book. I believe it was issued by the Church Army, with portions of the Gospel, four Gospels, and a few hymns. Only a very small little book. Well, we all congregated in this hut. And one of these chaps, he started with some prayers. And we sang a hymn. And then the other one, he read a part of one of the Gospels. And we sang another hymn. Then one of them gave a small address. Wasn't didn't last many minutes. Then we sang another hymn. Then after that there was a few prayers. And then we all said the grace. And we came to the last hymn. You may guess what it is. I'll tell you. It was, Lord, keep our loved ones near far absent, neath thy care. And believe me, there wasn't a dry eye in that hut that Sunday. I looked at Jack. Tears were running down his face. And so they were in mine. We all went out without a word. Jack and I, we walked back to our hut. I didn't say anything, nor did he. Our thoughts were nothing, definitely. Those two chaps who took that service, I never saw them again, I never spoke to them. But over the time I have thought to myself, they could have been lay readers or even congregational ministers or perhaps Salvation Army. But I don't know. But I'm certain of this, they were true Christians, if ever there was. But after that, might have been a day or so after, when he was back, I sat up against the back of the hut. Jack sat the side of me. And I got my head in my hands. Jack said, "Are you all right, Bill?" I said, "Yes, I'm all right, Jack. I'm just thinking." He said, "Well, don't hurt yourself, will you?" I said, "No, don't think so." Then I said to him, "Jack, we've got to get out of this." I said, "If we don't, we shall get dysentery and probably die." I said, "Well, how are you going to do that? Take on the German army?" I said, "Well, that'd be an idea, wouldn't it?" But then I said to him, "There's a strong rumor going about, Jack, that if you get out on another job, on a job, you're much better off." He says, "Yes, I heard it." I said, "There's another thing." I said, "They sometimes come in here and ask for different trades." I said, "Yes, I know they do." Well, I said, "The next time they come in here, I'm that trade." He said, "Are you my barmy or what?" I said, "No, but I'm determined." He said, "Supposing they come in and ask for a baker." He said, "Do you know how to cook bread or to punch dough?" I said, "No, I don't." But he said, "There you are. You're barmy." I said, "No." I said, "That's what I'm telling you. I shall take the next one that comes in, whatever it is." "Oh, well," he said, "if that's the case," he said, "I'll be with you," he said, "because you're not safe to be let out alone." I said, "No, all right." Well, as it was, this German came in that night. And he said, "Are there any locksmiths here?" I said, "Yes, I am." Jack said, "So am I." And there was another chap sat the other side of him, because the German then said he wanted three. Another chap, he must have heard what Jack and I had been talking about, and he'd got dysentery then. And he said, "Well, I am." So this German said, "Right, I'll call for you in the morning and take you down and see the commandant." When he'd gone out, Jack says to me, "Do you know what a locksmith does?" I says, "No." I said, "Do you?" He says, "No." I said, "Oh, we're all right then." That's the best thing, we can go to sleep, like me too, if we haven't got to go till the morning. Anyway, this guard came and fetched us to take us down to the commandant. And when we walked in, he was a big chap behind the table, he got a big fellow, real Billy Bunter. And I thought myself, I'd like to punch you in the belly and see if you'd creep. But of course I didn't. And then he picked up a paper and he says, "Locksmith." We didn't answer him. And I think that must have annoyed him, because I think he called us everything under the sun. I don't know what he was talking about. He was going out and out and we stood there like fools, as you might say. Then all of a sudden he says, "Get out! Out!" And we did. We got out as quick as we could. Well, we weren't there long. before a German military policeman rode up on a horse. And he went in to the office and came out with a paper. I reckon that was the same paper as what this commandant had. He gets up on his horse, draws out his revolver, and he's swinging about and that, calling out, "Loosed, loosed," and pointing up the road. And I said, "I don't know." I said, "Stop right flying that toy about." I said, "You're going to hurt some of us." And, oh dear, that made it just like worse. Jack said, "For goodness sake, hold your rail." He says he'll shoot some of us with that blessed toy he's got in his hand. So I never said no more. And we started to walk up the road, and all the while they kept shouting loose. We wasn't walking quick enough. There were the three of us. And I don't know, I just think we went 4 or 5 kilometres, I think. And then we came into a farmyard. There was a great grass space in the middle on the side there, and then there was the yards and two-storied house, which was derelict. It looked to me as if probably the farmer had gone in a hurry and left everything when the Germans first came to occupy there. But that I don't know. But that's what it looked like. All down this other side of the grass, there was a row of lorries. And I realised that this was part of the German transport. And there was an officer coming walking over there, and he came up to us, and this policeman gave him a paper, and I suppose that had got that we were locksmiths on it, I don't know. And he pointed to Jack. He said, "What's your trade?" Jack says, "Fitter's labourer." And I thought myself, "That's done it, we're supposed to be locksmiths." Then he says to me, "What's your trade?" I said, "Well, I'm on the same as his." So he burst out laughing. And when he finished laughing, he could speak perfect English. He said, "Before the war, I worked in London for several years. And," he said, "I've got a great many good English friends." And he scrubbed the paper up, what he got in his hand, and put it in his pocket. He said, "Now, if you go over there where you've got the other trestle table, that's our cooks. You go there, they'll tell you what to do." Well, Fred Andrews, who had got the dysentery, I think this officer must have got in touch with the nuns, because they came and took him away. So I shan't be mentioning Fred Andrews anymore. Well, we went out, Jack and I, we went over to these cooks, and they took us out to a piece of ground that had been marked out, and there was poles and tarpaulins there. And after gesturing and one thing and another, bits of all sorts of talk, I realised what they wanted us to do was to dig a trench and build a latrine, which we did. When we'd finished, the elderly cook, I don't know how old he was, perhaps he was no older than me, I don't know, he got a beard. He gave us a bottle of lager each. And he told us that he'd got a large hotel in Munich and he had this lager sent to him. Well, it was a very nice bottle of drop of lager, I can tell you that. But we never got another one. Well, that finished it for the day. They told us we could go up to in this empty house and go in and watch what we liked. It didn't matter where. And then the next morning, they took us down this line of lorries. Now, in the back of one, there was a couple of jacks and a large box full of all different tools, spanners, hammers, soft brushes, wire brushes, scrapers. You mentioned it, that was in there. And he pointed under the lorry and he says, "Good." I said, "Yes, good." I don't know what he meant. And he went away. Jack says, "What do you mean?" I said, "I don't know what he meant." So Jack sat down and laid on off the grass. I said, "Well, there's something wrong, I reckon, under that lorry." He pokes his finger at it. So I said, "Well, the best thing we can do is try and find out what the trouble is." So I said to him, "There was plenty of bricks laid about there. I was put some bricks under those front wheels. I said, I'll see if the handbrake's all right on." And he said, "What do you want to do that for?" I said, "Well, I want to stop that from rolling off when I put the jacks up." So we stood there, put these jacks up, and lifted them up a bit so I could get underneath. Before I went to get underneath, I took my tunic off, laid it on the ground, and I said to Jack, "Put a brick on top of that." He said, "What do you want to put a brick on top of it for?" I said, "Because," I said, "I don't want to see that walking down the road," I said, "when I'm under that lorry." So he took his jacket off. He put a brick on his. He said, "Have you got any lodgers?" I said, "I've got enough." I said, "How many have you got?" He said, "1,000,001. I said, "What's the one for?" He said, "To keep the others in order." I said, "Oh." So I said, "Well, so I'll go under there and see what's wrong, if I can." And I got under there. Oh, I said, "I can't see anything." I said, "Oh, I thought everything is covered up with mud, dry mud." I said, "Better give me a scraper and a wire brush." So I was under there some time, getting that off. And then I said, "I think I can see what the trouble is, Jack." "Right," he says, "I'll be off up there and tell him." I said, "You stop where you are. I said, they know what's wrong. I said, do you have anything to tell them? I said, it's us that didn't know what was wrong. And I said, I don't know, but I know what's wrong now. So I said, and the best thing I said, I think what I think we'll do, we'll put those jacks up so as to take the whole of the weight of the lorry off the springs. And that's what we did. He said, what are you going to do now? I said, I'm going to try and loosen those bolts. And before that, I said, those logs of iron out there, I said, just, because I reckon, I said, there's a broken logs in the spring. I said, what it looks like to me. And I said, you bring one of them over. I said, we'll measure all the size we want. I brought one. I said, no, I want a smaller one than that. I brought this other one. I said, that's the one. That'll do lovely. Now I said, I'm going to loosen these nuts and bolts. And I said to him, you better pray that I don't loosen them too far so the whole lot collapses like a pack of cards. Oh, well, he said, I'll go and sit and down and I'll have a rest. I said, we haven't done anything yet. And he went and sat down. And then I said, well, he might bring me some spanners. So he brought me some spanners. He said, I can't see why you didn't say, well, tell me which one you want. I said, I don't know which one I want. I said, I'll fit them and see what I want. So I got them. And I loosened all the nuts and the bolts. And I was almost, oh, I hope I don't go too far. And so they fly off. But anyway, she answered. Then I said to him, Jack, bring that bit of iron what we measured. He brought it. I said, now, I said, I'm going to hold that, this end, up against the broken glass and the spring. He said, yeah. I said, if you get a hammer and then gently tap your end while I'm holding it against the broken glass, I said, we'll see if we can get it out. And I said, don't clout it either. I said, just gently tap it. And that's what we did. He gently kept tapping. And I said, that's going well. Keep going, just nice, gently tapping. That knocked a broken piece of lath off the other end. I pulled that out of the way. And I said, well, tap away. And I said, when I call out stop, stop at once. And all right. And when it got just into place, I shouted at the top of my voice, stop. He said, well, you needn't have shouted like that. You really blew my head off. I said, well, I want to make certain you were going to stop. I said, right, now I'm going to tighten the bolts. The nuts, and we'll see what happens. I tightened all the nuts and bolts. Then we let the lorry down. And that settled down beautifully. And I got out from underneath. Well, I was out there because that was after it was down. At any rate, I went across and I laid on the grass and I kicked my legs in the arm in the air. And I said, "There you are, Jack. We've done it. You told me I'd got to take on the German army." I said, "We've done it. We bluffed them and we've won." And I said, "War can't last long now." I said, "It's given such a shaking that must be very near the end of the war." And I said, "If you take the broken pieces up to the blacksmith, because they've got a blacksmith of their own there." And I said, "I'll clear up while you're gone." And that's what happened. We was never short of a job while we was there, because when the lorries went out, there's always one, perhaps two, come back with broken springs. But we never did more than one spring a day. We didn't intend to. If there was two or three come back with broken springs, we used to think, "Well, let's put them out of action. That's a little bit against the war." But there we were. We generally had one to do. And you might wonder why the springs used to break like that, and I'll tell you. They hadn't got any rubber to make tyres, owing to the fact of the British Navy blockade. So their engineers had come up with an idea, and the wheels, instead of tyres, they'd got a band of iron round, and in between the wheel and this iron, there were a number of coil springs. Now, don't ask me how it worked. I knew then, but I don't know now. I've forgotten all about it. But that's what it was. And therefore, when they got very heavily loaded, perhaps if they were taking shells and that kind of thing to the artillery, then it was heavy loaded. The springs couldn't take it. If it had been rubber tires, it would have been a different matter. And that's what happened. These springs, the lars, you get either one, perhaps two lars broken. But we were made of our eyes, we'd never do only one a day. Of an evening there was a German used to play a zither, and he could make that thing talk. We used to sit there and listen to that. I loved it. And then there came a time when the German said to us one morning, "We're very sorry that we've got to take you back to the prisoners of war camp. We have been ordered to Russia." So they took us back at this camp. It wasn't as one we had before, but this one was really a French prisoners of war camp. Well, there I'm leaving this today. If there are any questions you would like to ask me, you can do so, and I'll do my best to answer them, as long as it doesn't affect future talks, where it might come into that, because these talks, I shall be giving you another talk with Janet's permission, and she thinks that is what she wants me to do, a fortnight today. I'm talking to Thursday friends on Thursday. They will be about two talks ahead of you. But I will carry on from this position a fortnight today. Thank you for listening. And now for your questions, if you please.
Also, a big round of applause.
Thank you. I hope you've all been interested and liked my talk. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Nice and clear. We could hear you.
Mm.
Has anybody got any questions?
You want to switch that off?
Mm. I saw that wrong.
There's nothing else. Not today.
No. No questions, I know.
I didn't take so long as I thought it would.
No.